Adela Horáková quit her top job as a lawyer to devote all of her energies to campaigning for same-sex marriage with Isma Fair, or We Are Fair. The organisation has collected a total of 100,000 signatures in favour of marriage equality. But over 2 years after a bill was submitted to MPs, there's been next to no movement on it in the lower house. When we spoke during Prague's recent Pride Week, the wide-ranging conversation took in everything from Horáková's own experiences of coming out to the possibility of the vilification of the LGBT community seen in other states in the region, also spreading here to the Czech Republic. When you talk to older people here, how was it for them before 1989, in the final decades, let's say, of communism?
The main thing is that they were hiding, and they're still used to hide. So, in fact, it's not always easy to talk to elderly LGBT people because they are not used to visibility, they are not used to being out and open and outspoken. But when we do find them and when we do speak to them, they do appreciate a progress. So many things have changed and improved, that's for sure. But there are also some things that they would have hoped would also change already, but they have not, such as the marriage equality and the possibility to form stable families by having joint adoptions.
There have been quite a few legal changes, including the introduction of registered partnerships in 2006. How much did EU accession influence progress in this area?
Very much, I would say. I remember the accession talks. I followed them very closely. I am a lawyer specialized in EU law, and I could see that the strengthening of democracy and respect for equality was something that I would not say was brought here by EU, but is certainly being practiced in EU more than it was in Czech Republic before. So I think EU played a crucial role in introducing the idea of equality and dignity. And it still does. Just a few days ago, the European Commission announced that they will be withholding funding for those cities in Poland that declare themselves to be homophobic. And EU is very vocal and open in their support for LGBT people throughout Europe, which we appreciate enormously, especially when you see domestic politicians just making us a target. It's necessary for our well-being and mental health to know that there are institutions and people who stand behind us.
When it comes to Czech society in general, do you feel that there is more acceptance of sexual minorities than there was, let's say, in the 90s?
Definitely. The attitudes of ordinary people are changing more quickly than the attitudes of politicians. The politicians are always lagging behind. We, in general, I think, don't have politicians with a vision. We have people who play it safe. We have people who want to just preserve the status quo. They don't lead the country into the future. They want it to stay in a muddy past. But the people themselves, they are changing. If you just look at the support of registered partnership, which skyrocketed from, I don't know, what was it, 50% when it was adopted to 80, 90% today. The same is happening with marriage equality. It's steadily rising over the years, the support for joint adoptions. I think the reasons for that are twofold. And the primary one is that we're being seen, that we're not hidden, and that people see we're not monsters or danger to the society. And that's why events like Prague Pride are super important, even though we do hear a lot of criticism. And I do understand that there might be aspects of it that people would not feel comfortable with, but we need to look at the bigger picture and not the scandalous few photos of few people. We need to look at the fact that this is a festival that brings us to the light. And the fact that we are seen is the one of the reasons, but a very important one, why the attitudes and support of people is rising.
The situation of LGBT people in the region has gotten worse in recent years. Why do you think it's happening now?
That's a $1 million question. My personal, a bit amateur opinion is that there is not one single reason for it. The crisis that shook the world in 2008 is certainly one of them, and people in times of crisis tend to withdraw and hold on to the past. I think it might be also a certain immaturity of democracy in these countries. So it is a young democracy in Poland and in Hungary. And all those decades of social debates and fight for equality that happened in the Western Europe, they did not happen here. We do not have a solid nationwide debate behind us about equality of women, equality of LGBT people, the benefits of equality. And third reason might be just a disappointment of especially the older generation from what the change in regime didn't bring. And there might be other reasons. And actually, I'm going to mention one more. It is just a pure calculation on the side of politicians like Orban, who just want to seize the power, or the Catholic state of Poland, as it is now, Kaczynski and his party. They just want to seize the power, and they're looking for ways to do it. So their homophobia, I would say, is maybe not even authentic. It's just a plan. It's just a cynical game with people.
Obviously, things are far worse in Poland and Hungary than here. But is there fear among your community here that something similar could happen?
Certainly. We are not Poland and Hungary, but there is a real danger we might be walking down that path. If you look at the statements, for example, of some of the politicians from ODS, acclaiming and congratulating the politics that Kaczynski is doing, for example, Deputy Vondra is just hailing their style, and he knows very well what they're doing. He knows the hatred they're spreading. He knows the muzzling of democracy or deconstruction of democracy they're doing. And knowing this, he still calls their style a good conservative politics. And he's certainly not the only one who is either admiring the style of Orban and Kaczynski or silently supporting it and maybe hoping to follow. So there is a very real danger. We might be walking in the same direction, and we need to very quickly and very clearly say that this is not where we're going. And we need to ask our politicians and hold them accountable for not making role models out of these countries. We can be civil, we can be neighbors, we certainly need to cooperate, but we need to say very clearly that this is not the direction in which we're going.
What was your response when around 10 years ago, when as president, Václav Klaus started using this term, homosexualism?
I try not to have many. I mean, I don't really have many opinions of Mr. Klaus. To me, he's actually very boring. He's just repeating the same. He's just this angry man that's just, I don't know where does his frustration and his fragility come from, but he's just spewing hatred. When I speak to psychologists, they tell me that people who have the need to attack other people usually have some kind of an inner struggle. I don't know where does his come from, but I wish him very well, and I hope that he will have a peace of mind one day.
If I could ask you, please, about your own story, have you ever encountered discrimination?
I have not encountered open discrimination. I have certainly encountered these what we call microaggressions, so expressions of disapproval or maybe disgust by LGBT people. Even among my friends and among colleagues, I have to say that it takes a lot of energy within ourselves, within myself, to keep thinking that these people were not born this way. Nobody is born a homophobe. All the aversion towards LGBT people is always taught, is always put into people's heads. And I need to keep thinking that this is not them, actually. And when I speak to them, when I try to debate with them, doesn't mean that I always change their mind, but we manage to have a civil discussion. And I do with the pleasure have to say that there have been people whose mind I have changed, and I feel very happy for that. So perhaps me personally, not so much. Also coming from Ústí region, which is actually the least religious region in the Czech Republic, very industrial. The lack of influence of the Catholic Church is a good thing for LGBT people. But maybe I'm just lucky. If you look at the statistics, there was a report of the Ombudsperson Office last year on how was life for LGBT people in Czech Republic. You see that almost 40%, I think, of them have encountered discrimination or harassment. But shockingly, 91% of these incidents are never reported. So the violence against LGBT people, whether it is discrimination or harassment, whether it is verbal or physical, is happening on a daily basis. We just don't hear about it. And that's why Czech society has this idea that it is a paradise and that life is super easy. 2/3 of straight people think that there is no discrimination for LGBT people. But 1/3 of LGBT people have lived through a discrimination. But they never, almost never, like I said, 91% of these incidents are never reported. And that creates this false idea that we are talking about inexisting problems, that we are creating problems where they don't exist.
By the way, do you think Czechs are a tolerant nation? When I first came here, I thought they were. And after a few years, I realized they're not really so tolerant. They're just not interested. They don't care what the other guy does.
I believe that all people are good. I believe that there is a predisposition in all human beings to tend toward being good, because it's pleasurable for them as well. And I think Czech people are no exception. I know we see ourselves as a tolerant nation. This is being put to the test in recent years. I would say that in terms of LGBT people, it is often not a real respect, which is what we would need and want, but maybe an uneducated indifference, which we sometimes call tolerance. I'm not sure if that's the good word, but I would say maybe uneducated indifference is a good place to start on the way to respect.
Getting back to your own story, if you don't mind me asking, could you tell us please about your own coming out?
When we speak about coming out, there is usually two, three different aspects of it. First of all, it never ends. It's a thing you do your whole life, basically. And the first phase is sort of this inner coming out, when you come to terms and when you realize that you're lesbian, gay, bisexual, or trans. I remember this phase was very quick and very easy for me. I don't remember a moment where I would think, oh my God, there is a problem. It was more like, all right. And then I moved on. I was nervous telling my mother. She was sad for a little moment, but very quickly, within hours, she just, you know, hugged me and told me she loved me. And I was lucky in this respect to have friends and family who were supportive, but certainly not the case for many, many people.
And how was it in your working environment?
That took a little bit longer, and I'm not an exception. That's actually something that's happening very often, that you come out in your inner circle to your family and your friends, but it takes much longer in your work, because work is something very important. Work is something that gives you money and independence, it gives you livelihood, and you don't want to jeopardize it. And also we feel that we don't need, it's just work. We don't need to speak about personal stuff. What we don't realize is that it takes a toll on us. And there is actually an economic term for that. It's called cost of thinking twice. Basically, if you think of your brain as a computer, a part of your processor is always dedicated to, if you're not out at work, is always dedicated to shutting down, to hiding. And that capacity of your processor cannot be focused at work as it should. For me, it took years. Still after university, I think there were years when I was not out at work. The typical thing, you come back after a weekend and you discuss with your colleagues what you have done. And I would avoid referring to my girlfriend. I would say either we or I. But I distinctly remember one moment where I said, okay, this is enough. I'm not going to do that anymore. I came to my last firm, Sir Denton's, and I was going for lunch, I think, with a colleague of mine, and he asked me, so, you know, you have a partner or, you know, what's your life situation? And I avoided that question. I just deflected it and I went to another topic. And then I went back to my office and I was angry at myself. I thought, this is not right. Why am I doing this? I'm humiliating myself and I am contributing to the problem, because like I said, the visibility is very important. And the more people see us, the more people just know us as their friends and colleagues and being open, the more accepting they will be. So I told myself on that day, that's going to be the last day, I'm going to lie about it and hide. And shortly after that, we had our first Pride event, and Denton's is now a proud supporter of marriage equality. And I like to think that my coming out played a role in that.
Well, you turned your back on this really high-flying career in law to focus on advocating for marriage equality. What led you to take that step?
Feeling that I need to contribute to making things better, being disappointed with the current state of affairs, with how many things are forbidden for LGBT people, such as the fact that we cannot enter into marriage, we cannot jointly adopt children. Yeah, that we're just being attacked by many politicians, by church leaders. And I felt this is not right. And I felt I need to defend us. And for a long time, I was actually a volunteer. So I had my day job and then I was volunteering in LGBT organizations. So I did that for a very long time. And then I just couldn't, I wanted to focus 100% of my energy on this. I felt it was very important, especially seeing the trends in Poland and Hungary.
Well, legislation on marriage equality has been before the Czech Parliament for over 2 years now, but it's being stalled all the time. Do you think we will ever see it here?
For sure, we will. I am absolutely convinced of that, and I will do everything in my power to make that happen, me and my colleagues. We feel huge support from the people around us. But now it's been 2 years, like you said, and nothing is happening, and they're just shoving us under the table, if that is the correct expression, trying to put us aside. And we want to tell them that we're here, we're not forgetting, and we're going nowhere, and that we want them to do their job. They're paid for passing laws or deciding on laws, and to put us aside for 2 years is just not right.
Have you ever had a chance to discuss this issue with the Prime Minister, Mr. Babish?
Yes, I did. He personally expressed his support for the idea, which I welcomed. I do have to say I am a little bit disappointed with the development afterwards, because it's been 2 years, and even though ANO has a very large club in the parliament, they have not been able to make up their clear position for a big party like this that likes to appear strong and decisive. To be actually so indecisive on something so important is a bit worrying for me, and I think it's illegible for the voters. People don't know what to think, and when you don't know what to think about a party, I think you're less likely to vote for it, because you just can't read it. And that's not only the case of ANO, that's the case of many other parties. So happy for his personal support, disappointed with the development in the parliament afterwards.